be near unto the Lord, near unto our Savior. We trust that it is. We take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 10. The title of my message this morning is A Sure Covenant. Taking that really as we'll look at the last verse of chapter 9 where where he says, "And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it." The 10th chapter is really a following through with this with what we have in the last verse of chapter 9. Just to kind of bring you up to date as we think about this chapter and the previous chapter, chapter 9. In this chapter, we learned that that they had come and really, after some great difficulty, had come to a place of really worshiping from the heart. In verses 1 through 6, we saw a people who, in their repentance, that their worship went beyond just the form. And we learned and we talked about how we need not just have a form, but it needs to be a worship that comes from the heart. And then when it goes from the heart and spreads to the form, that's the difference between what is true and what is false and what is phony. We ask the question, have you examined your heart? From your heart, today, as we look at the need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, have you really trusted the Lord Jesus Christ from the heart? Some have made a profession with the lips, but never have made from their heart truly called out to the Lord for their salvation. We had a couple different messages from verses 7 to 17 and then from 17 to 26 where Nehemiah continued to give accounts of the faithfulness of God. We saw God in his great faithfulness. We saw him in his great mercy, gracious, his loving kindness. We saw people who were unfaithful to God. Their trust in the true God was often short-lived, and we saw them going their own way. And then we saw God pardoning them as they repented and came to him, acknowledging their sin and crying to God for mercy. We recognize that that same thing is for us today, that when we need to recognize our sin, we need to call out to our Lord, and the Lord is gracious in mercy. His kindness, his loving kindness, we glory in, that we can come to him and we can be forgiven. But in our last message, we looked at their disobedience and their rebellion and how that affected them. We saw how first it began with pride, and then it went to disobedience, and then it ended up in their being stiff-necked, their being just not willing to listen to the things of God. He talked about their repentance and how God came to them in his mercy. But he also spoke about the results of their rebellion. You see, where we find these people in the book of Nehemiah today is a remnant that has come back into the land that God originally had given to them because they were carried off captive because of their rebellion. And this chapter the ninth chapter talked about how they were left in the hand of their enemies. They were servants in a land that God had given to them. How God had sent his prophets and testified against them because of their rebellion. And we looked in those last verses of this chapter, of the ninth chapter, and they said in the first verse, "So we're servants this day. The land that you gave our fathers, we're servants in it." It says, "And the land that you gave to us is yielding its increase to the kings that are over us instead of or having the land you gave to us. They have dominion over our bodies, over our cattle, and over our pleasure, at their pleasure." He said there in in verse 36 and 37. So they were in great distress. So where we pick up today at the end of chapter 9, and we looked at that briefly in the 38th verse, and then in chapter 10, a people that are that have turned unto the Lord, a people that have repented and recognized where their rebellion has taken them, and they're making a, it says a sure covenant, or scripture says here, and they write it down and they seal it. It is a blessed thing that you can call on your merciful God. You can't change the past. You can't go back to the past and change it. But you can start right now, and you can make that covenant before the Lord, and you can go on. That's true. That's true for the one who has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ today. We're the day of the church. We're not here in the Old Testament time. But we're here today in the day of the church, and the Lord Jesus is calling ones to himself. And if you're here this morning and not trusted Christ, there's still opportunity. We live in the day of grace when you can come to Christ as your Savior. And you can have that new life in Christ. If you're here as a believer in Christ, and there have been things where you have chosen to go your own way, maybe you're suffering the results of that, as the Israelites were here in this passage of Scripture. But they've made their heart right before the Lord, and we've seen that in chapter 9. And here now, not only have they confessed that to the Lord, but now we see them making a covenant, making a sure statement, making a commitment. And so that's what we see. First of all, as we begin in the 38th verse, the last verse of chapter 9. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes and Levites and priests seal unto it. If we were to take that and put that into where we ought to be today in the New Testament church, make a sure commitment to follow Christ. Make a sure commitment to follow Christ. Now, if you'll notice in this verse, it says to make a sure covenant. One of the things I like about the King James Bible is that it puts in italics a word that they've supplied. Instead of just supplying it without letting us know that. So I like that they've done that. And it says here, they make a sure. You could actually end that because you see a covenant there in your King James is in italics, which means that word was covenant was not in the text right here, but they were seeking to clarify it. But they're doing something that is very sure. Now, I think it's a good explanation because we'll see even as we read this morning already in the 29th verse of chapter 10, it says they entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law. This is something that they've made before God. It's something that they've made before the people. They're doing something to make sure, to underline it, to hold themselves accountable that they would do what they're, and this goes on to tell us what they have chosen to do. So this was a solemn promise before man and God. It's a commitment before all, that was before all that's made there in the presence of God. It's a promise now that they're making, so it's not taken lightly. So it's not saying, sometimes... Sometimes when people are in trouble, they make some statements and they say, "Well, I'm gonna serve the Lord," or they call out to the Lord and they say they're gonna do something, but as soon as the moment is past, they soon quickly forget. This was not something that was made in private. This was something that was made public. It was something that was made before all, that they would, that they're going to carry out what they do. It's a giving over of themselves. You know, as I said, this is something, and as we read through and we see some of the things that they were doing, we'll see that it's very much in the context of their Jewish context, in the context of things that were given to them specifically. But boy, there's much that we can learn from that and we can gain from that as we see an example of what people do when they make things right with the Lord and they decide that they're going to follow the Lord. But they have an important matter. It's a giving themselves over. I think we could compare this when they say they make a sure covenant and write it and seal it. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the Lord wants us today, as his people, to give ourselves over wholly to him. Not just go on and, okay, I've trusted the Lord, now I'll live my life the way I want to. He's given to us that, and as Paul charged there in Romans, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Give yourself wholly over. I think this is what I believe we're seeing these people do in this covenant back here in Nehemiah. They're giving themselves over wholly unto the Lord. It's a commitment that they're making to action. They've got a covenant here that they're making. I think of the Apostle Paul when he called himself in the first verse of Romans, he called himself Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And that word servant is a bondman, one who has bound himself over as a servant of Jesus Christ. He was one who had given his own self up to another's will, to the will of God. The word is a word that's used to devote to another, to disregard one's own personal interests. When Paul says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, he was saying, I'm a bondman. I have bound myself over that I'm going to do the will of God. I am God's servant. I'm not going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I think that's what we see, and we'll see as we look at this sure promise that is made here. What I see of these people, they're going to stop going their own way. It was a widespread commitment that is made here in Israel. This wasn't just a few. Now, you've got in the first 27 verses of chapter 10, just a listing of a number of names there. You notice that it starts out with Nehemiah. Now, those that sealed were Nehemiah, the Tirshatha, or the one who was the governor. He was the top man there in Israel. Yes, he was an Israelite, but he was also the Persian governor there in Judah. He was the one that had been put over there, the people when he went there to be there. He's the first one to seal this covenant. He's the first one to seal the covenant. He led the way. What a blessing when it is the leadership that leads the way to godliness and obedience to God. What a blessing when the president is the leader in godliness and obedience. We would so desire that would be true. What a blessing when the governor is one who leads in godliness and obedience. We would so desire that be true. What a blessing in the church when the pastor is one who leads in godliness and obedience. What a blessing in the home when the father leads in godliness and obedience. When we look at these verses, there we see it starts with Nehemiah, and really from there down, verses 1 through 8, notice at the end of verse 8, it says, these were the priests. Those names that you see listed in verses 1 through 8, after Nehemiah, it says, these were the priests. The priests were there. They're leading the way. They're leading the way in godliness and obedience. One of the things that we've seen in studying here in the Old Testament, many times it was the priests were the ones who weren't doing right. They were leading the people wrong. And so as we see that here, we see the priests. Then we see in general verses 9 through 13. Verses 9 through 13, we have there the Levites. And there's those that are Levites in verses 9 through 13. Then in verses 14 through 27, these here are the chief of the people. So beginning in verse 9, it says, and the Levites, and it lists them. And then in verse 14, and the chief of the people, those that were the various rulers of the people. We see them sealing this as well. And so we see them leading in that. Until when you come down to verse 28, where we began reading in our responsive reading this morning, it says, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, and all they, the singers, the Nethinim, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the land under the law of their God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. What a great passage this is to remind us and to let us see that this wasn't just a few of them that were there. But as they have recognized where they have been, they've recognized what they have lost, they've recognized their sin as a people, and they're turning to the Lord, they're making a covenant before the Lord, and it's from the very top in their leadership down through the priests, the Levites, the chiefs, and all of those that have understanding. Oh, that we would see such a turning to the Lord in our own country. We're not the Jewish nation, which were God's chosen people, and that God is going to deal with in days to come. But God has greatly blessed our nation, hasn't He? God has, called us aside as a nation and greatly blessed us to where many have called us in the past a Christian nation. How much we have lost, and how we could go the ways of many nations as you study the history of the world, as they go their own way and they turn from the Lord. But what a blessing it was here. We see them and we see this widespread coming to the Lord and coming together to sign this, to seal this agreement. Back to verse 28. There of this 10th chapter, it says, in the first part, it gives those that had separated themselves, but then we see this acting on the covenant. They didn't just say it. Here's the importance of following through with your commitment with action. It says here in the second part of this verse that all they that had separated themselves from the people of the land unto the law of their God. They separated themselves from the people of the land. Remember, as we studied through this, and those of you who weren't here, you would remember that these were a people who had intermingled with those that the Lord told them, don't intermingle with the idolatrous people of the land around you. They'll lead you astray. You'll become like them. He told, and they had not done that, if you remember. But these people have acted upon what they're saying, and they had separated themselves. They had to make some pretty hard choices when they did this, but they did what the Lord had told them to do. These were the ones they had intermingled with. They had taken on their ways. They had forsaken the way of their God. Now they've turned from that and they've come back. They separated themselves from the people. And who did they separate unto in that 20th verse? They separated unto the law of God. They separated unto the law of God. You know, you can practice separation all you want. You can do, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. But separation is from the things that God has commanded us not to be a part of unto our God. And that's what the Lord wants of us. You know, I think of that classic passage in 2 Corinthians 6:14 that's given to the believer today. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? This is 2 Corinthians 6:14 and following. What communion has light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part is he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? You're the temple of the living God. God has said, I'll walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be their my people. I will dwell in them. I'll walk in them. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's what the Lord has called us as believers today. He's called us to, he said, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. So we said, I need you to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Separate unto the Lord our God, that he may have fellowship with us, that we may have that fellowship that we are saved to have. Yes, separated unto the law of God. I think of Matthew chapter 6, 24, that says, no man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, that's what happened to the Israelites back here in Nehemiah. They intermingled. They married the unbelieving girls of the people around them. They took on their idol worship. They started to think like them. They loved the world, and they didn't have the love of the Father. Now they've recognized, we did wrong. We did wrong. We didn't follow what God gave us to do. So they separated themselves unto the law of God. There in the last part of this verse, this 28th verse, their wives, their sons, their daughters, and all of them having knowledge and having understanding. It was a nationwide. It went down into. This wasn't just the leaders in the homes. This wasn't just the grandfathers. This wasn't just the fathers. This was dads, moms, and kids. Oh, how we need that in our homes today, don't we? Not just dads, not just moms, but dads, moms, and kids. willing, desiring to separate themselves unto the Lord their God. What are some of the particulars that we see in this covenant, in this sure thing that they have sealed? I think we see them naming things that they knew where they had gone against the law of God. And as we look at this, we look at the particulars. I think that to make the application to our own lives is name your known sins and commit to turning from them. Don't just look at the things that, well, that was Israel. That was what was given to them. They were bad. They shouldn't have done that. The Lord wants us to see those things that He's given to us and where we have gone against Him. But so as we look through this, beginning in verse 29, and then following on, it says they clave to their brethren, their nobles, they entered into a curse, into an oath, to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, to observe and to do all the commandments of the Lord our God, and His judgments and His statutes. They had the law of Moses. They didn't have the Bible that you have today. They only had a part of what you have today. But they had that they hadn't followed, and they had turned aside from it. And so as they are separating themselves unto the Lord, they are making a determination and a covenant, I'm going to follow God's word. What has God given to us today? Yes, there's those things that were part of the Levitical laws of the Old Testament that are not binding on us today. But there's so much we learn from them, and there's so much that, and what the Lord has given to us here in the day of grace that we live in the church. What is your commitment to God's word? Are you committed to, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what He has said. God's word is my rule book, and that's what I'm going to follow. They recognized they had left that, and they said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to follow God's law. We're going to do all of His commandments. I'm going to follow no matter what God asks, I'm going to do it. Is that the way you live as a believer, as a Christian today? Is God's word your standard? Or are you going to take it and say, well, boy, that sounds like that might be good for some people, but no, I don't think that would work in my case. I don't think I'll follow that. That's the way many Christians today seek to live, instead of taking God at His word. That's what happened to him in the Old Testament. They followed what they wanted to follow, and they didn't follow what they didn't want to follow. That's why they had to come back and make this commitment. And so they named that here. We're going to follow God and His word. We're going to do all of the commandments that were written in the law of Moses. When we get down here to verse 30, and we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take of their daughters for our sons. That's where we really went against what God told us. We're not going to do that. We're not going to give our daughters and our sons to those of the land. You know, the Lord has told us here in the church today. He's told us that we ought not to marry an unbeliever. But what happens? Oh, my son really likes that girl. She's such a cute girl, and boy, she's got a really neat personality. You know, so we say, yeah, go ahead and marry her. Maybe she'll come to the Lord later. No, the Lord says don't do it. But we think we know better. We think... I had a daughter one time that brought a young man to me, and of course, daughters think dads can do anything. Dad'll convert him. Dad'll get him to think the way he ought to, you know. So I'll just bring him and let dad take care of him. No, dad can't do that. That's something God's got to do in the heart. And so, kids, don't go making decisions on what you think somebody's going to do. You make sure they're followers of Christ. They love the Lord their God. It is so important that we just follow God's word. We don't think, well, in my case, it'll work better. That was their problem. They gave their daughters and their sons to the people of the land. Another problem they had. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year of the extraction. Well, in the first, let's just deal with the first part of that. There was just the dealing with the Sabbath. And what was happening? Well, now it doesn't say this here, but the people were bringing in things that they needed from outside of Israel. And they probably made a big sale on the Sabbath day. You buy today, we will give you 70% off. Well, so they get people coming in and buying that. They're bringing their wares on the Sabbath day. The people start to buy that. Of course, after a while, they probably get it down to what's about the same price as it was, but they've got them into a habit. That was happening in Israel. The Sabbath wasn't being cared for. It wasn't being looked over. How much we have lost today with the Lord's Day. How much have we lost today with the Lord's Day? That's one of the biggest sales day of the year now. Why is it? Well, because we go out and buy on the Lord's Day. What are we going to do? Of course, it's probably so far gone now, it's not going to make that much difference. But I know one of the things that we've sought to do as a family, just because, if at all possible, we don't want somebody to have to work on the Lord's Day, is we're not going to go out and buy on it. We're not going to go where they have to feed us on the Lord's Day. Some have given testimony here. You go to get a job now, what do they say when you say you won't work Sunday? Well, forget it. It's become such a part of our society today, because I've heard some people say, well, Sunday's our biggest day because that's when all the people leave church and come out to eat. And so they have to hire, they have to do everything. We're losing so much in our society. Here they were told they were not to buy on the Sabbath, they're confessing this to the Lord. Something else they didn't do. One of the things they were told to do was that every seventh year they were to leave their land. They were not to plant on that seventh year. That was called their sabbatical year. That was part of their laws that they had. It wasn't part of the teaching on the Sabbath, but there was a separate Sabbath year. They were told 6 days you'll sow your land and gather the fruits, but the seventh year you'll let it rest and let it lie still, that the poor of the land may eat, and they may leave it to the beasts of the field to eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. It says they were supposed to leave their land set. Well, we can't do that, they said. So they didn't. One of the things, you know how the Lord determined how long they would be 70 years in captivity? He determined it by how long it had been since they had left off that seventh year. They had gone for 100 years without doing what the Lord had told them to do. You see, they're recognizing this is something God gave to us that we were to do in our land, and we didn't do it. So they're confessing that unto the Lord. Something else, and you look at the 32nd verse. Also, we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part. Wait, that's not the verse that I wanted to look at. I'm going to look at that later. Keep the sabbatical year. Forgive the debt. Where is it? Oh, okay. At the end of the, that we would leave the seventh year, the end of verse 31, I passed over that. And the extraction of every debt. What do you suppose that means? The extraction of every debt. You know, one of the things that the Lord gave to the Jews, that they would not be in bondage to each other, he told them at the end of 7 years, at the end of every seventh year, your brother and I'm not going to be in debt to you. You will cancel out the debt. So they knew if somebody was borrowing from them, they should known ahead of time that's not going to last forever. You know, we have a society today that wants to keep us in debt forever. They want us to spend money on our credit cards, and they don't want us to pay it all off. They want to charge us interest and then big interest, and then if you're late a little bit, they want to throw on higher interest, and they want to get you in bondage to themselves. Well, you know, the Jews are pretty wise financial people. They know how to do those kind of things. The Lord knew, hey, you guys can't do that. The end of 7 years, those debts are canceled. You're going to start over new again. And so that was something else. You can read that in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 2. It says, at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth ought unto his neighbor shall release. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. He said, now of the foreigners, you can hold a debt, but you're not going to do it against your own people. So the Lord was caring for his people, and the Lord was going to helping them understand, you're not going to bring your people into bondage. Do you remember as we've been going through this book, one of the things that was happening? Their people, they were slaves to their own people, and they weren't able to get out of it. They weren't following what God gave to them. There's so much in the New Testament that God has given to us, and we just think we can pass it off. The commitment to follow God's word is to, Lord, what you give me, that I'm going to do. Here to them, they were to have forgiven that debt, and they weren't doing it. Now they're saying, we're going to do that. Verses 32 and 33, we also made ordinance for ourselves to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God. As much as you hate taxes, these people voted themselves their own tax. This was normally to come out of the treasury of the temple or secondly out of the king's treasury, but those treasuries were empty because of the way they had been in the past. So they voted to tax themselves to be able to care for the things of the house of God. And so this is just, all of a sudden they were concerned. Now that they've got their heart right, they're concerned for the things of God. And they want their worship. They want the house of God to be able to function as it's supposed to. But it's not able to do that because we haven't been doing what we should. And you get down to verses 34, down through verses 39, we see them determining how all these things are to be cared for. 34, dealing with the showbread, with the things that needed to be brought in for the offerings, verse 34, who's going to bring in the wood and things for the sacrifices and how that's going to be cared for, verse 35. Caring for the needs of those that are working in there and bringing in the first fruits of our ground, the first fruits of their fruit trees year by year. You know, one of the things that the Jews were supposed to do was to bring in the first fruits. That means the Lord got first. What's our human nature say? Well, if anything's left over, I'll give it to the Lord. But the Lord had told them that they were to bring their first fruits. So they're dealing with that, and they're saying, we're going to bring in the first fruits. Verse 36, also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as is written, they were to be unto the Lord. Now, they didn't bring this was not a human sacrifice, so I want you to understand that. They were told for the firstborn of their sons, and if you go back and read the Levitical law that was given to them, they would redeem their sons by a special sacrifice that they would bring for them. But of the first of their animals, those were to be dedicated and those were to be brought to the Lord. And verse 35, the first fruits of their of all that they had. You see, it says to bring to the house of our God unto the priests that minister in the house of our God. That's the way their temple worship and all that was in it was to be carried out as the people would give. They hadn't been doing that. Of the other things that they were to give there, of their tithes in verse 37. And then 38 and 39, the tithes of the tithes, of how those, even of the Levites, were to give of the of their tithes, of what they had got from the tithe unto the house of their God. Why were they doing all of this? That's kind of the conclusion I want to bring our message to this morning. Because in verse 39, at the end, what's it say? We will not forsake the house of our God. They recognized their condition, and they've made a covenant so that it doesn't happen again. They've made a covenant because they don't want it to happen again. Now we recognize, and as we're in the church today, there are things that God has given to us. And we can see things that we have lost because of how we haven't followed the Lord. For our time and our generation, we need to make, as they did here, a commitment to follow Christ. Have you made that commitment to follow Christ? Have you given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, then you need to start right there. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then if you're here and you know Christ, how important is God's word to you? You see, they got in trouble because they didn't follow the law of Moses that was given to them. And we get in trouble today because we've got a scripture. We've got how God has told us how we ought to live. If we're going to honor and serve Him, He knows what's best for us. He desires, as our Heavenly Father, to give us those good and precious gifts, but we go our own way and we lose out on what God would have for us. Make a sure commitment to follow Christ. Act on that commitment. Follow through with it. Follow through with your commitment with action, dealing with the particulars of where you have failed the Lord, where you have sinned and gone against the Lord. You see, that's what they were doing here. They were listing things where they knew they had not followed the Lord. They had not followed the law of Moses that was given to them. May the Lord help us to have the kind of a sure commitment. And you know, God's blessing was upon those people in that particular generation as they came to the Lord and they made that sure commitment. We know that it didn't carry out forever. We know that they were ultimately scattered and such, but for that generation and that time, it was a great day. And that's what can be for you today in your life and in your home, to know the Lord, to seek to follow Him and to have the blessings of your God as you make that commitment to Him. Shall we pray? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word today. Lord, thank you for giving us this passage of Scripture that shows how your people in this particular time determined to follow thee. And Lord, I pray that by your Spirit that you might bring a knowledge to the listeners here today, that each one might come to recognize what their present condition is with thee, that any without Christ would turn to thee, that any believer that is not fully following thee, that, Lord, you would bring to their mind those present sins, that they might turn from them, that they might have the blessing of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and now apply it to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.